Breakfast with Spanky, 7:30 to 9:30 on RDU 98.5 FM.
Dogs, 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 dogs. You see, dogs, a lot of people have opinion on dogs. There's not many people you'd meet that say, I don't have an opinion at all on dogs. People like small dogs or big dogs, or they don't like dogs at all, or they only like dogs in the way that they don't like cats. You see, compared to cats, I prefer dogs. But someone who spent a lot of time with dogs, Dr. William Helton, Senior Lecturer at the UC, actually in the Psychology Department. Good morning, Dr. William.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us. So you've been studying the intelligence of dogs.
Indirectly, yes.
And we always sort of think dogs are some of the more intelligent animals we've got.
That would be true.
Yeah. What about dogs have you been studying exactly?
We've been looking at kind of what dog. My interest was what dogs are best for certain jobs. And by doing that, we got interested in kind of why people think certain dogs are smarter than other dogs or better able to be trained for tasks than other dogs. The interesting thing is if you ask most people who've had some experience with dogs, the exact rating of which breeds of dogs, for example, are more intelligent than others is, of course, not perfectly consistent across people, but the relative ratings are pretty highly consistent. So if you think about most people would say the smart breeds are things like Border Collies, German Shepherds, Labrador Retrievers, Australian Cattle Dogs, maybe Rottweilers, Poodles. The exact ranking, of course, changes a bit, but you know that relative ranking stays consistent. And the not so smart breeds are ones that, for example, are like Afghan hounds or Basset hounds. I don't want to pick on anybody's particular breed.
Don't worry, just go for it.
Or maybe some of the terriers. And the thing that I noticed with this is that it seemed like there was a kind of size relationship between the ones people considered to be smart and the ones people consider to be not so smart. So the ones that people consider to be smart are kind of like the Goldilocks dogs. They're kind of in the middle. They're not particularly large. They're not particularly small. They're about medium-sized dogs, maybe slightly larger than medium, but around the medium. They aren't particularly wide. They're not particularly narrow. So if you think about some of the dogs that aren't considered necessarily the brightest, it would be a lot of the sight hounds that are kind of specialists for running, or some of the dogs that might be more specialists for fighting, like some of the mastiffs. And then size-wise, so you get the giant breeds and the toy breeds are also considered not to be particularly intelligent. Well, it could be because of the shape, meaning part of the intelligence assessment isn't that the dog is intelligent or not, but whether or not we think we can train it. And part of training is physical. So if you ever watch people with small dogs, like toy breeds, and they start yapping away and acting kind of in a way they don't like, what do?
Well, they just pick them up and put them in their handbag.
Right. They pick them up, which means the dog doesn't really learn anything from that experience. Whereas if you had a giant breed, it's similar in the sense that they're so uneasy to control that a lot of people just avoid them. I mean, it's really hard to physically correct, and I don't mean necessarily harshly, but just, you know, even manipulate with your body.
Well, it's like an elephant, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's hard to get your point across.
Yeah, so it's hard with a very bit large dog, some of the giant breeds, to kind of train them because they're just physically hard to move around. So I got interested in this kind of how does people's perception of dog intelligence relate with reality. And so we used a number of different tasks to try to get at this, and we found some pretty interesting things that... For example, when there's a dog sport called agility where people make this dog run through obstacles. It's kind of like equestrian with, or what do they call it, these equestrian events, but with dogs, and they make them run through these obstacles. And the nice thing about this sport is you can break out speed performance with accuracy performance. I mean, it's just like with a horse jumping or something like that. The horse can do it really fast and do it well, but the horse could also maybe knock a bar, which would be inaccuracy. In the case of agility with dogs, the handler is actually telling them and directing them with either gestures or vocal commands where to go.
So it's a researcher's dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
That sort of information.
And the dog goes the wrong way. Well, the interesting thing with that is if you ask people to say how much they've been training the dog and then you look at the breeds, there's no difference in the relationship between the amount of time spent training them and their ability to make these faults. But there is a difference with speed.
Right, because a big dog or a small dog wouldn't be going as quick, potentially.
Right, especially through obstacles, because the sport actually, if you look at the history of it, was actually kind of invented by border collie owners who were kind of bored.
Ah, yeah.
So the whole sport's kind of built around their body type. But it also is that there's this a reaction that the body's able to handle from the training, meaning some dogs are just never going to be able to get that fast because they're just not built right for it.
So it's sort of it sounds like what you're saying is that underlining all of these assumptions about dog breeds has been this dog size prejudice that's been going on. You know, that some dogs are sort of, they're almost like the middle male white class, you know, the border collies, those middle sized dogs. They're going to succeed because they've had privileged upbringings.
Well, you could sort of say that, yeah. They're definitely going to be perceived different by us because our perception of them is based on our interactions with them. So whichever ones we seem to be better able to control are going to probably be the ones we consider to be smarter. I mean,
well, has there been research about how annoying different sized dogs are? Because small dogs seem to have small dog syndrome, and big dogs just don't care about anything.
Yeah, I mean, part of it might be that the reality of their size makes it. I mean, if I were a small dog, I'd probably be pretty vocal too, because if I get stepped on, I'm going to get crushed.
Yeah, yeah. And big dogs just don't care, eh? You'd say, could you go over there? And they're just like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not suggesting that there aren't real temperament differences between breeds of dogs.
Yeah.
That'll be probably are, but definitely size matters.
Right. So the thing is, what are the different approaches? From your research, you can see that dog handlers would say that we actually have to have different approaches entirely for how to train small dogs and how to train big dogs.
Well, definitely you have to be aware of the differences, meaning you're going to have to be aware that if you have, for example, a small dog, and this is probably why a lot of the small dogs don't seem to be particularly well...
they're nasty.
Trained, it's because it's just hard to train them. I mean, when I was a kid, we had terriers, which are small dogs, and they have a notorious reputation for being feisty and kind of strong-willed, independent. But part of it was because you got to stoop over to train them. I mean, it's just harder than if you had a dog that was probably a more medium-sized dog.
Not a great learning environment for the dogs. No.
Yeah.
Well, very interesting. Have people picked up on this research?
Up in the news. Like I think it was in the States and Discovery Science News, and I think Toronto Star, and then of course they picked it up here.
Any doggy people interested?
Oh yeah, I mean I've definitely done stuff even for kind of detection agencies, because the application side of it, which is the part I'm interested in, is you get a lot of kind of mythology and training community. So for example, if I was going to pick a dog to do landmine detection, if you look at the dogs they currently use a lot of places, it's dogs that historically were used in a different law enforcement or military context of like base security or protecting handlers or taking down suspects or something like that. It'd be like German Shepherds, Belgian Malinois, maybe Labrador Retrievers. The downside with those dogs is they are big, which means in a landmine detection context, they might set off the mines.
Oh, yeah.
They don't live particularly long comparative to smaller breeds. But they're not used in that context. And I think it's probably because, not because other dogs couldn't be used, it's because the people in that community, whether they're aware of it or not, have a certain search, kind of, you might call it a search template. They're looking for a particular kind of dog because of the military background that they've had.
As a bias towards...
Yeah, kind of I want a macho dog.
Yeah.
And in other contexts where they've been aware of the macho image of the dog, for example, if you go to Auckland International Airport or Christchurch International Airport, they go through your luggage with a beagle. When you come in, they have the little beagle there who's you know, trying to tell them if there's illegal produce in your bag or something like that.
And the thing about the beagle, too, is it's so cute.
Right, it's not
intimidating. It's a horrible kind of thing. Looks up at you, sort of has cute big eyes, and you know secretly you've got half a kilo of cocaine stuffed in your bag.
Right. The intentional choice for that dog was we want a dog that will not kind of agitate or alert or intimidate passengers.
Yeah.
And of course, Snoopy is one of the beloved characters in the Beagle. I mean,
that makes sense. Hey, it's a pleasure talking.
Yeah.
And look forward to seeing how this research continues to develop.
Yeah, take care.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
It's Dr. William Helton talking about dogs.
This has been a Breakfast with Spanky podcast, thanks to RDU 98.5 FM. To find out more, go to rdu.org.nz.